Hello, bonjour, and welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM, located on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. My name is Valley, like a valley, but spelled a little bit differently, and I am your host for the next hour. You are currently listening to La Bonne Heure, and today we have an interview with a band called Flint and Smoke, which is very exciting. They're actually all here in the studio with us, so maybe we could hear some names and maybe some roles in the band.
Hi, I'm Nick. So I'm the lead singer of Flint and Smoke.
Don't sell yourself short. You also play guitar. I'm Jeff. I'm the lead guitarist, though.
My name is Jack, and I play bass for the band.
Wonderful. Okay. So I like to start my interviews with what I like to think of as fun questions. Maybe they're not as fun as I think they are. But the first thing I was thinking of was the fact that you guys are called Flint and Smoke. And I was thinking of smoke, and I have actually two questions that pertain to that word. The first is to do with fire. When I think of fires, I think of very cozy, like being at home with a little fireplace. But I was wondering if there's... like a night beside the fire or a daytime bonfire memory that stands out to you?
Well, I mean, if we're talking about sort of the band name and sort of where the band name came from, essentially, so me and Jeff started writing music in, was it 2020?
It was the year that we all came back for the first full COVID semester.
Okay. So
the 2020-2021 school year.
And it was during the smoke season.
Right in September.
So the name Flint and Smoke essentially came from us essentially hanging out every single week, writing songs for like 4 hours. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly one night we were at Triple O's and we just decided, it's like, what about? And we were thinking of band names. Yeah. So like for a couple of times we were at Triple O's. And one night we basically decided, what about Flint and Smoke?
Because it was we wanted something when we were playing around with it. We wanted like blank and blank. We thought that sounded kind of cool. Okay. And Nick said the word Flint, and then we were just kind of looking around. And I can't remember which one of us saw, but basically one of us just looked outside and we couldn't see more than 10 feet out the window because of all the smog that was in town. And we were like, Flint and Smoke? All right, that's the one. And we just stuck with it.
Go for it.
No, perfect. Yeah.
And we all met at a bonfire.
That's true, actually. That is very true.
Okay. I remember it's a lovely summer night. Yeah, we just, I met Nick and Jeff. We're going to bonfire Towers Wreck Beach. Yeah, and that's how we met.
Yeah, because we met Jack through a friend that I know, and... him and I just shared a couple beers with each other over the bonfire, and we were talking about the songs, and he was down to record a couple songs with us, and now we're here, like, over a year later.
Hell yeah.
Beautiful. I love that. That's great, because that's how you guys met. It's also the name of the band. Wonderful. So when you think about Flint and Smoke, and you think about, like, fires, do you really think about kind of, like, the band name, but also that bonfire that you all met at?
Hell yeah.
I think we also think about sort of like how like fires are sort of burning ideas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sort of like the idea of making music like with people that you really enjoy and just things like that. And honestly, like that's one of the things that I truly love about being in the band, is that we're always like spurting out ideas. We're always like jamming and trying to make sure that like we're doing something that we really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a ginger with that fiery
person. Fake ginger, I would like to add.
The other side of smoke that I was thinking of was like smoked food. Like smoked almonds or smoked ham. I was wondering if you guys have a favorite smoked dish or a smoked food.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, I'm down to take that one. But yeah, so I'm a native fella. I'm from the Tunutla Nation. And just like growing up with like my mom just getting like different like from whatever like local like indigenous vendors, smoked salmon, like candied salmon, not just smoked salmon, but candied salmon. Oh man, that stuff hits different.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah.
I'll definitely jump in on that as well. Like soaked salmon is definitely one of my favorite things. It's just nice.
It's just nice.
Jack?
I'm definitely a fan of it, like smoky barbecue, but I don't know, like, they just always put, like, this sauce called Sweet Baby Ray on those, like, whatever does, like, smoking. And I'm not a fan of that sauce, I have to say.
Thumbs down.
Yeah, but, yeah, I just love smoking stuff in general. Yeah.
Very cool. Okay, I love that. Wonderful answers. Maybe moving into a little bit more of the music side of thing. Mm. So you guys said how you met, but I was just wondering how you came up with this idea to form a band. There's also a fourth member, I believe.
So,
we've had a rotating cast of drummers.
Okay.
We had another friend of a friend, kind of same way we met Jack. Actually, same friend that we met Jack through. We met a guy that was doing drums, and we met him before we had even met Jack, because Nick and I had this lineup of songs, and we wanted to cut this album, because like I said, we got here for that full COVID year, and we were bored out of our minds, so we started just writing songs together, and we wanted to start cutting it down onto tape, and so we through a friend of a friend, met a drummer, and then we needed a bassist, so a friend of a friend, we got Jack, and but that was, like, our relationship with the past drummer, like, it was, like, total, like, session work. He was awesome to help us, like, create the arrangements and get it all recorded, but he's in another band as well, like, we're friends with him, like, it's cool. We have another friend that we've got right now who's been helping us with some gigs that we've done. We had one just this past Friday, and on at Kerner's on St. Patrick's Day, we had an awesome gig. That was great, seeing all the people dancing up there. But
pretty phenomenal nights both times. But in terms of like when me and Jeff first met, we met in first year, so we've essentially like started our collaboration more in second year, during our sort of time before COVID, but we were just jamming, and we also met one of the drummers during that time.
The guy that we've been with our gigs now. It's a big reuniting after we jammed a couple times in second year, and now he's back with us now.
But now the three pieces, essentially Jack, Jeff, and I.
Lovely. So you mentioned a couple of those shows that you've done. I was wondering if you have maybe a standout memory from a show. And maybe a standout weirdest memory from a show.
Jack?
Like the Kerner's one that we played on St. Patrick's Day. It was, it was on Thursday, and I got this message on Wednesday, the day before. Pretty much the host asking, hey, like, do you have a band that can fill up the position? Because lots of people got COVID, so some band dropped out. I was like, yo, we have to make this happen. So we planned out the entire set in 2 hours, and we're literally on the next day. And it was a nice experience.
It was incredible.
It was the first time that Jack had even like played some of the songs with this new drummer.
Oh, really?
'Cause Nick and I had done some sessions with him to like teach him the songs, but like we never played it as a full band, and like day before we're all doing it,
and it turned out really well.
Yeah, Jack pulled through with that plug there. That was awesome.
We only had a 2-hour session before the gig, so like it was literally on a Wednesday, and like everyone was just sort of panicking when we got the message from Jack. We were like, oh wait, this is happening, really? Oh, okay. And then we just rehearsed for 2 hours, and the next day we were on stage.
Wow. Is there a lot of improvisation in your shows? Like,
yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Yes.
even when it's improvised of when we need to improvise as well. it's more a factor of us. We had 2 hours to prepare, so here we go.
there were times where, for instance, for instance, in our gig on Friday, there was at times me and Jeff had to like drink water. So we basically asked like Jack and the drummer to sort of like, hey, do you want to jam out just for a bit? And honestly, it's a nice kind of break to the concert itself. Mm-hmm. It just lets people to just breathe a bit, because you've just heard a bunch of rock songs. Like your ears might want to just like chill out for a bit. Mm-hmm. And I find it fun and relaxing and just... No, you're vibing.
Definitely.
And also one thing that I've found as well just through performing is one of the best moments is just when, like, for example, like, say, like, when Jack and I, like, lock eyes across the stage because he threw a bass fill in that didn't have before, and it was like, oh, nice. Or, like, I turned around and Ethan behind the drum kit just threw down a nice fill somewhere, and I'm like, oh, nice. You know, like, just those things, like, they weren't planned, but there was a nice little space, and you lean into it, and then, you make that connection, and you maybe give it a bit more juice on the next verse, and just the song kind of builds, and And, like, because we had, like, a couple, like, when, I don't know, friends or family record some of our stuff. It's really cool to hear, like, how different the same songs are from the studio. The first time we play it live to when we do it in rehearsal. The second time we play it live. Mm-hmm. Like, the way that the songs keep changing. I heard a cool thing one time, but it's, like, a lot of people think that when you record a song, that's the final version of a song. But that's the first version of the song, right? And then every time you play it, it develops from there. And so, yeah.
Wonderful. Okay, well, speaking of songs, we have Up at the Crossroads up first. Do you guys have maybe a little story to share about that song?
I mean, Jeff?
Yeah, honestly, my favorite part about this song was this was one of the ones that Jack had recorded the bass for separately. Like, we were there. He was just like, man, can you just, like, send me the tapes? I want to just, like, really just get into it tonight. Yeah. And so then he responds, like, 2 hours later. He's
I texted Jeff. I was like, I'm feeling this song.
And he's like, dude, I just recorded my favorite Flint and Smoke take of all time. And I was like, oh, nice.
Yeah, it was magical. Yeah.
It was one of those songs, especially when we discovered, like, when we released it with the album, it was one of those songs that was, like, a fan favorite.
Mm.
Like, people really enjoyed that song. And personally, I'm going to be honest, I originally didn't like the song. I was like, I didn't necessarily like it. I didn't think it was the best Flint and Smoke song. And then when I started listening to it more and more and more, and we started doing it live, and I was like, yeah, no, I understand.
You
now.
Get the
hype. Definitely had one of the biggest improvements from just me and Nick with, like, a single guitar playing it in my room to the full band arrangement.
Yeah.
Again, with featuring performances such as Jack's, right?
Wonderful. Well, here it is, At the Crossroads by Flint and Smoke.
I can stay up all night every day, talking to myself like I was yesterday. Wasn't my fault if I couldn't behave. Was caught up in shit like an old cliche. And you know what you know, and you throw and you go. Smoke starts to crawl away, and you hug when you fall. When you leave, you get caught, and your heart starts to melt away. They said it was easy, but I feel something change. I walk alone around 1:45. I see my friends playing poker in the sunny afternoon. I get high with some strangers that I would never assume. They were dumb and drunk and broken. They just really look like you. They said it was easy, but I feel something change. And I told myself I'd be waiting, waiting for something to say. Crossroads. Myself.
Wonderful. Okay, so that was At the Crossroads by Flint and Smoke. We are actually here in the studio with them right now. So if you're in the nest, you can walk past and say hello. But if you're tuning in, we spoke a little bit about the origins of the band. And now I wanted to dive a little bit further into your creative process. So when, you know, it's a normal day, you're sitting down and you think, hey, I want to make a song. Who really initializes that process? That process? Who contributes what? How do you all work together to create something like At the Crossroads?
Well, do you want to go first? Or I mean, all I was going to say is that Jeff tends to be the one who finds the guitar riff first.
Okay.
Like, from time to time, like, either one of us is going to, like, bring something new, mm-hmm. and even Jackson from time to time. But Jeff's usually the one who initiates sort of, like, the guitar riff, then I initiate the vocals, and then Jack sort of adds on the bass line. Yeah. What he feels like is the vibe.
Jack's one of those talented musicians I've ever met. Like, he can take literally anything. Like we said, for the full first album, it was Nick and I just writing a bunch of songs. We've like no real concept for what are the drums gonna be doing, what are the bass gonna be doing. It was just like, let's get some like good songs down, and then deal with that afterwards. And yeah, no matter what we bring him, he's just like, got it. And then he's in the song.
Yeah, by the time I joined the band, they already have most of the song in the album ready. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they sent me the demos and, you know, this little books that has like chords on it. So yeah, I would just like, I will see what I can bring to the song with my bass.
Yeah.
And that's, how we recorded the album.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, phenomenal bassist. Like, literally just very talented.
You're having to
look. This man's worth his weight in gold.
He's so good. He's so good. He also plays incredible guitar. He's a talented musician, and honestly, we were so lucky to find him.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for your love.
So sweet.
I will always praise you, especially in public. I will always praise you.
Less in private, obviously.
Yeah, no, in private, that's other things.
It's just hate.
Absolutely.
This is all public.
Yeah. Leave the studio. It's like, you're out of the band. So you really all contribute, like, your main instrument to the songwriting process. Do you think about storytelling when you're coming up with, you know, the lyrics, and when you're coming up with that story? Or do you really touch on personal, you know, memories or stories as well?
Yeah, so I know that, like, to kind of get back to that, like, kind of early phase of the songwriting process, I start with a lot of, like, kind of the song structure, like, okay, what would, like, this is a, like, maybe this could be a verse part, this could be a chorus part, and then maybe, like, some basic rhythmic aspects of the of the lyrics.
Mm.
And then I bring it to Nick, and then he just improvises a bunch of lyrics on top, and then we kind of look back at what those improvised lyrics were doing, and then we're like, okay, what was the main through line here? How does it fit, like, the story that the structure of the song is going towards? We both love songs that tell a story. Like, I think, like, one of my favorite songwriters of all time is Chuck Berry, right? Like, he kept it simple, but, like, those songs told a story. And I think that, some of our songs at least can attempt to go to do something like that.
I mean, every time sort of a piece of music is brought to me by Jeff, like, I always find a character for, like, the song. So we sort of, my process is sort of starting on that. Like, it's a character development. It's about this person who's going through something. And another thing is that Smoke and Mirrors, so the title of our album, essentially refers to the fact that it is based off some sense of reality. It's mostly just, like, it's based off reality, but it's very much transformed into a narrative that is sort of, like, you know, made up.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, it's characters that are sort of going through different things throughout the songs, and really just developing, kind of a storyline to that.
Yeah, and like, kind of transferring our personal emotions that we felt, but then, like, oh, okay, how would this character feel in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of our songs, Supernova, like, it's about a girl who's been, like kicked down and, like left out on the street, and like, to me, like, when I was thinking about that, like, I'm like, oh, well, this, like, to me, it was, like, kind of like a, like, I was picturing, you know, like, kind of the, like, the girl from, like a Rolling Stone by Bob Dylan or something like that. Like, how would she feel, you know? And then, like, how have I felt when I was in this kind of scenario, you know? And And yeah, like it capturing those personal emotions, but in a heightened storytelling kind of way.
Yeah. Also, I was been wondering. So you know, in the Lion song, you're like the only text I want to get was this name called Julie. Like who?
From the girl who drew me.
From the girl who drew me.
You thought it was Julie?
Who's this girl?
I was totally about a girl come Julie.
We just both been, we were just both pining for this girl named Julie.
No, so lying, I think, is an interesting narrative because, like, in the beginning is all about how this person is sort of frustrated by the partner he's with. So in this case, another woman, and he's sort of like, you know, finding other people, seeing other people. Like,
and then
he goes
straight to simping.
And then the bridge. And then the bridge is sort of his realization of like, oh, well, actually, I've only ever been interested in the person who drew me. And it's like...
In Julie.
This girl who was Julie.
Only in Julie.
Well, I think that's a great transition into lying.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Are there any other little notes that you guys want to say about that song, or should we just give it a listen?
Yeah, I mean, it's recorded on my my 5-string guitar that I use. It's in an open tuning. Yeah, so this one, like, yeah, it's inspired by kind of that, like, really bluesy rock and roll feel. It's like the Black Crowes, Rolling Stones, like that kind of thing. And they both use this alternate tuning. And I've loved exploring alternate tunings like this. And this was the product of us exploring that. So, yeah.
Really, I'll take some notes. Alternate tuning scares me so much. I'm always like, I'm going to break my every string. No. It's going to be a disaster. Okay, so here is Lying by Flint and Smoke.
Do you feel alive?
All right, so that was Lying by Flint and Smoke. But just before we keep going, we have a couple ads here that we can all listen to together. The first one is named Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop. So very excited to discover what this is advertising.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial. Open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
There is a drinking water settlement for First Nations, and the claims process is now open. If you are a First Nations member impacted by a long-term drinking water advisory, you may be eligible for compensation. This is the first drop in recognizing those communities impacted. Submit your claim at firstnationsdrinkingwater.ca.
All right. So, diving back into our little interview with Flint and Smoke here at CITR 101.9 FM. You are currently listening to La Bonne Heure with myself, Valley. And I wanted to ask if you guys have anything that you are the most proud of when it comes to your music, whether it is a line of lyric, whether it is like a bass line or a riff or anything like that, out of all the music you've made.
I want to be that very kind of cringy lead singer, being okay. I am so proud and so happy that we are actually making music together. Like it's honestly just been one of those things that have really kept me together throughout these past few years, especially during COVID, because COVID has been a nightmare, let's just be honest. But it's also been a great time for us to make friends, to make partnerships, and to really grow as musicians and as friends. And so it's been a terrific time to just be able to play music and to bond even live. Like, to do live music is such an incredible experience. And honestly, if you're a musician out there and you really want to do, like, performing, like, go for it. It's so thrilling and so enticing, and it's just so magical, especially when you're with people that you really love and enjoy playing music with. It's just a whole experience. So I'm proud of that.
I don't think that's cheesy. I think that's so lovely.
Oh, well, I appreciate it.
I'll call him cheesy for it later.
Yeah, I was just about to say, yeah, like Nick mentioned, I just really enjoy, you know, just hanging out with a band and just jamming with a band. We're not those bands that, you know, we're literally, you know, hang out with each other 24/7. But like, you know, every time, whenever we hang out, it's always gonna be a good time.
Yeah.
And you know, we respect each other's space, and yeah, we all have our own life. But you know, once we're together, you know, we jam and we rock and roll. Yeah.
It's all about rock and roll, baby.
Yeah.
Jeff, what's your very sweet?
I'll take a very, very selfish, very specific answer to this one. I'm proud of myself that, like, this guy literally taught me how to sing accidentally throughout the course of this album. Like, this time, like, by the time when we started the album, like, I couldn't sing, didn't claim to be a singer at all, couldn't sing. But then just over time of, like, writing lyrics with Nick and, like, hearing the way that he thinks about melodies, and yeah, just like singing along with him, that now we do like in my opinion, like pretty cool harmony parts, and like we do like a dual mic setup live, and a lot of the stuff that we're working on for our second album. Stay tuned, everybody. Yeah, we got a lot of like two vocal parts on it, and it's yeah. So I'm just like thankful for him for that, and proud of myself that I learned how to sing over the last couple years.
I will also say that I am very thankful for Jeff, because he's also taught me a lot in terms of guitar. Like, one of the reasons why now I can live play guitar is because of this man right here. But I will also like to say that I do want to involve Jack more in singing as well, because I hear he has a lovely voice. place, but
yeah, there's been a couple times where we've been doing like little improv jams and Jack hops on the mic, and it's like, buddy, where'd that come from, man? That's awesome,
buddy. We are getting you into singing.
I'll try my best. Yeah.
Yeah. Straight up. Okay.
So
yeah.
You're not only coming to this band with, I'm going to say, talents that you already had or abilities that you already had, but you're also learning new things.
Yeah.
Do you think that music is something that you want to continue doing in the future, or is this just kind of like a fun little project that you'll look back on fondly?
I could be a poster boy for any like couch guitarist that thinks that they can't do more, because like the pinnacle for what I thought my like biggest accomplishments would be the coolest dad around family friend camping trips in like 20 years, right? Mm-hmm. That was what I thought the peak of my success as a guitarist would have been. But then we just decided, hey, let's do it. And then we did, right? Like, just like to, you know, like the ability to now know that you can just make an album. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that's going to stick with me forever. I know, like I said, Nick and I, we've been working out things for future projects. It's been awesome.
It's been kind of surreal, honestly. It's been really surreal, the fact that we've been able to not only record an album, but actually do concerts and doing our own songs during them. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, we cover some songs, but actually being able to, like, do our own songs together and to showcase it in front of people that haven't necessarily heard our stuff is really surreal and so incredible. And like, originally I didn't think that we would be able to fully record an album and just release it like that, but here we are now. Like, we're talking about it in a radio studio, and it's incredible.
Yeah, like we kind of fluked our way into the whole process as well, because like I said, like Nick and I, we had no real experience with this beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just kind of started doing it, and we started writing songs because, you know, we thought that's what a band did. And then we had songs, so it's like, okay, let's make an album. I guess that's what a band does. But then as COVID restrictions kind of started to get lifted last summer, and there were some like live gigs on campus, and we started to meet people in the UBC music scene, like Jack, and other bands and stuff.
Shout out, Jack.
and so as we started to meet other bands, and they're like, oh, so like, what do you guys do? We're like, we're recording an album. And they're like, oh, like of covers? And we're like, no, originals. I'm like, oh, so an EP? And we're like, no, like a full album of originals. And we didn't realize that that was like a lot bigger of a deal than we thought it was, because like the track most bands go for is like play cover band, like be a bar cover band, and then maybe write a couple originals, incorporate those into your set, and then maybe record those as a single, right? Whereas we just went full in on originals because we just started songwriting one day.
I can just imagine you guys, I don't know why, when you were saying like that's what a band does, I could just imagine you guys like on the WikiHow, like how to be a band. You're like, they make albums, maybe
what,
we should try
what makes
that.
You say we weren't on that website? What makes you say we weren't looking at like, how do you become a band?
My search history has been hacked.
Ah, shoot.
What was that recording process like? Was it challenging ever, or was it just kind of a very easy process?
It's a hassle. There's a reason why bands don't just start with making an album.
It was tedious. Me and Jeff had to record the vocals so many times, and like once in my room, a couple of them we actually took from my room to the actual record itself. But then there were a couple of times where we had to like work with our producer in his room and record some of the vocals there as well.
Yeah, that was a big part of production as well. Shout out our boy Luke Beach Brown. He's a guy that Nick knew through some people, and I knew through some people as well. Because he self-produced a bunch of his own like indie pop stuff.
Mm.
And so when we needed a guy to just help us out with getting this record out, we called him up, and pretty much all of last semester, we spent just doing weekly sessions with him, or like bi-weekly sessions with him, and just to like refine the sound over time. And yeah, and so huge shout out to Lee, because this album would not exist if not for him. But
And shout out to First Floor Collective, which he's a part of. They've just recently released a short film, which is very, very good. I'm biased, but it's very, very good.
Aren't you He's
in the movie. Yes. Yes.
I didn't want to say that. I didn't want to, you know, like.
You're on the poster.
This, yeah, there's this amazing. I've heard the lead actor is like incredible.
Yeah, I totally don't know who he is. He's probably not me or something. I don't know.
What about you, Jack? What was your experience with the production process? Because I know that like you probably have a totally different take on it from we do.
Yeah, because we recorded the entire album last summer.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and everybody was kind of all over the places. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're like broke college student. Like we don't have enough found to rent a studio for like a week and then just cram it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, it really just kind of stretched out throughout the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, we just meet at the Black Vinyl Project Jam Space. Nick or Jeff comes out with his like laptop. And yeah, we just, you know, recorded it. And yeah, it was quite long. It was a quite long process. Yeah,
couple
months. Yeah, mm-hmm. But we made it
couple
happen.
Couple months.
Yeah.
Wow.
What was kind of funny was that we did the drums first. So mm-hmm. That was the first thing we recorded, and like that took probably one day or two days.
That was a day and a half. That was the one time when we just like absolutely crunched it out. Because like we said, like we had this. Like our session player, Nick. Another Nick. There was two Nicks.
Shout out Nick.
Other Nick.
And we basically just rented a bunch of, we rented an 8-mic setup from Long and McQuaid and brought his like nice drum kit that he just got like fresh heads on, and we mic'd the whole thing up and we recorded the entire entire album's worth of drums in a day and a half.
Wow. So that was the most efficient couple days.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
For sure.
then the rest took months.
It was just downhill for that.
Yeah. But honestly, like I for the first time around, I really didn't mind that because we were able to like take the time to learn the process throughout it, and also the song changed shape so much as we got like different arrangements on there. Because before it would always just been like the four piece, right? So like in studio or like in the jam space with drums, bass, one guitar, one vocal.
Mm.
But then as we started to be able to layer things on top, different songs took totally different vibes. Like one of my personal favorites is Other Side, and that song like started out on 12-string guitar, my 12-string acoustic guitar, and then it went electric as we had the band. But then afterwards I was able to go back in and add the 12-string in that month-long drawn-out process, and that totally changed the vibe of the song, and it gave it almost a more like power ballad kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up putting that as our second single for the record. And like all the arrangements on that would not have happened if it wasn't for that more longer process that we had.
Mm.
Okay. Well, with that, here is Other Side by Flint and Smoke.
Awesome.
I've been losing faith. I keep thinking about you when you're on your way. You don't seem to care. You always leave me alone. Why do you pick up the phone when I'm not even there? What do you see when you wake up in the snow? Why can't you tell? Yeah. starting to lose my patience, trying to find my senses in all the fog. What do you see when you wake up in the snow?
That was Other Side by Flint and Smoke. We have time for maybe two last little questions. My second last question was going to be, what's next? I've heard murmurs throughout the interview about potentially a second album. So what's up with that?
We're writing a second
album. Yeah. Kind of what happened was, like we said, we've done a couple gigs over the last little bit, and Nick was, like, full credit to him, he was totally, like, kind of front-running the logistics on that.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was doing that, kind of working on, like, promoting the current album,
mm-hmm.
I've kind of been working on behind the scenes with some of the stuff for our second album, so going back into old demo takes that we had for the last one that, like, weren't finished yet in time for the last project, or just even songwriting new stuff, and then, again, bring it to Nick incrementally, like, about once a week or so, we have a little session where it's like, okay, here's what we've got so far, right? Which songs are you thinking about? What's going to be a good new first single? What's going to be a good second single? You know, like, kind of plan everything out, and so that we can do a much more, like, streamlined process this time. Again, taking what we learned last time through that big, long, drawn-out process, and how can we be more effective with it so that, like, once we're at a position where we do want to start, that we've got all this groundwork done, that we can just hit the ground running on recording.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, though, like, the day, like, the actual day the first album dropped, Jeff comes, like, literally, I call him up and is like, hey, do you want to, like, celebrate it? And then he's like, sure. And and so we meet up downstairs from my place, mm-hmm. and he's already has a bunch of songs, like, for the second album. And I'm just like, okay, well, I guess we're talking about the second album then.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, what's happening next right now, I mean, we're trying to do gigs.
Okay.
Like, that's essentially
anything coming up soon?
I mean, potentially.
On
I
the
mean,
hunt.
We're going to have a conversation about that tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
A venue. We will say that more later once everything is confirmed.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we just ran the gauntlet with, like, two last minute gigs in 2 weeks. And so we're
that's
like,
great. Yeah.
Got that under the belt.
Yeah.
You know? I'm still wiping my brow from all that.
We're still digesting.
Yeah.
Still
okay. All right. And then my last question will lead us into our last song on the show tonight.
Tonight.
Well, if you're tuning in from, you know, somewhere else, maybe it is tonight. This afternoon.
Somewhere.
Yeah, it's always midnight somewhere. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It started off as being a really, I'm going to say it's a very cheesy kind of, like, pop song.
Oh, yeah. It was like the third song we wrote. We were not in our groove yet.
No. And it's gone through a couple of transitions.
Yeah, like, it was so early on that when we were writing it, like, I was playing bass and Nick was playing guitar. And, like, it was, like, and the lyrics, yeah, they were just kind of, like, cheesy stuff. Like, it was, you know, we liked it, though. You know, it's like, you know, it's kind of got a fun little, like, bit of an edgy vibe, but man, the music sucks.
So one day, I basically invite Jeff over to sort of, like, play around maybe a couple of songs. And then mm-hmm. I'm like, hey, do you want to play Welcome to the Revolution in a really different way? And okay. it kind of sound, I don't know, it had a, I was on my keyboard and I was playing with a bunch of sounds and it was kind of sounding Middle
Eastern. Yeah, well, because it was the day that basically we were deciding which songs, because we wrote probably like 25, 30 songs. Yeah. In that first semester. And then this was like beginning of second semester when we were trying to assemble the band and figure out which songs to pursue.
Okay.
And Nick was like, do we do Welcome to Revolution? And
this
I was
like the shortlist day.
Yeah, and okay. when we're shortlisting the songs and we were like debating about Welcome to Revolution or not. And we're like, okay, it's not ready yet, shelve it.
Okay.
But then, yeah, but then he hits this like loop on his keyboard. It's kind of sound like almost like a On the Run by Pink Floyd off Dark Side of the Moon, like that kind of thing. Like, and I'm like, hey, what key is that? He's like, oh, it's in B. I'm like, okay, here I go. And I'm chomping away on his acoustic guitar with this, like, almost ZZ Top style riff. And then I pass the lyric book over to Nick, and we just kind of cut this acoustic blues version of it with this electric loop behind it. And then we left that. And then Nick comes in. And I'll let you take it from here.
Well, okay, so then we have a sesh with, so drummer Nick, to sort of like work out which songs we're going to record with him. And then, so at the end of the day, he's sort of like, all right, well, I've got 10 minutes left. What do you guys want to do? And I look at Jeff's like, hey, do you want to do Welcome to the Revolution? Mm-hmm. And the thing about Welcome to the Revolution is that it was slower when we did it the night, like a couple of nights before then.
Okay.
And, but then Jeff just goes to his guitar and just straight up just rock and rolls it. And
it's
Nick's
also not acoustic anymore. It's like it's amped up and
heavy rock.
Nick, our previous drummer, big Led Zeppelin guy. So he like he had this like awesome kind of like Bonzo style shuffle going on. And on this like original improvised take that we just kind of had because we had a couple spare minutes. And we're like, oh, that's the song and it's on the record now.
Yeah.
And so then we kind of grew it from there, and then it was the first time we played with Jack, actually, if you want to talk on that.
I just think that song is a really drummer-dependent song, and the drumming in that song really brought it to a different level. And our current drummer, Ethan, like, talented guy.
Yeah.
Shout out Ethan Volberg, everyone. Yeah. Shout out Ethan Volberg.
We're rehearsing last week, and he did this, like, sick solo. I was just totally in shock. And he made it again. He did it again last Friday, and yeah it was the best song.
Yeah, because there's a guitar solo break in that part, and so on the studio version that's easy because we got like me on guitar, and I can record a rhythm track and then record a solo on top of it. But live, I don't have the ability to play rhythm and lead at the same time, so we've got to have Jack and Ethan holding it down the whole time. And when they can lock on that one, it feels real good, man.
It's a good song. Very exciting.
Feels pretty.
Okay. Well, we will play a Welcome to the Revolution. And with that, I will say thank you so much for coming in to chat with me on La Bonheur today.
Thanks for having us. It's been awesome.
Of course. All right. Here is Welcome to the Revolution by Flint and Smoke. And then I will see you next week here on CITR 101.9 FM, 1 to 2 p.m. on Wednesdays. Tune in. See you then. Bye.
Everyone just talks about their lives, but every single worry in disguise, choking on the smoke that's in their eyes.
Yeah.
did. You did. You did it.
And then I thought.
Yeah, like she was cute. She was like still one.
And you know, when it comes to show, they'll never see what's after.